Now, I have a simple thought from this passage that I preached maybe a few months ago in a very shortened version in a men's preaching night. When Pastor informed me a few weeks that I would be preaching on a Sunday night due to the fact that he'd be going to Vancouver, I was pondering in my mind, you know, which sermon should I bring? What passage of Scripture should I preach on? And, you know, I decided that it would be beneficial to revisit this passage and to make a full-length sermon out of it, because I believe that this passage here can teach us some very crucially important lessons, specifically in making our lives easier and reducing a lot of strife in our life. Now, let's give a little bit of a background in regards to the story. We find Josiah that he was a great king in Judah. He's known for bringing the Bible back into the culture at a time when it was literally hidden away. We're not going to turn there for sake of time, but basically, Josiah had made an edict. He had made a decree to go and repair the temple of the Lord. And as they were repairing the temple, they found the book of the law of Moses, and they brought it before him, and it was read before him. And when he heard it, he rent his clothes and realized all the sin that his nation was in, and decided to make a campaign to get his nation back to God, to turn his nation back to the Lord his God. So he would go down as a righteous king in Judah. He would go down as somebody who did a lot to bring his kingdom back to God. However, in this passage, near the end of it, we read about his downfall. We read about his death. In this battle, we see him fighting a battle that he wasn't supposed to fight, meddling in strife that did not pertain to him, and it ended up leading to him getting shot at, getting sore wounded, and dying early due to the fact that he decided to take part in a battle that didn't belong to him. You see, Necho, he was going out to fight against Carchemish by Euphrates. For some reason that we don't know, God literally told Necho, king of Egypt, to go out and fight against Carchemish. The Bible literally says that he hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God and came to fight in the Valley of Megiddo. So basically, we know for a fact Pharaoh was supposed to go fight that battle. Necho, the king of Egypt, he was supposed to go fight that battle. The title of my sermon tonight comes from verse 21, where the king of Egypt says, "Forbear thee from meddling with God." Forbear thee from meddling. This is a sermon that is going to be against meddling. This is a sermon that is going to try to impress it upon you to not meddle with strife, not pretending with you. You see, by getting mixed up in this battle, it caused Josiah to get wounded very grievously and shortly thereafter die. You know, the reason that I chose this passage specifically is that it can serve as a lesson to us as to what can happen when we decide that we're going to meddle in battles not belonging to us, when we decide that we're going to meddle in strife not pertaining to us. You know, in church life, in work life, in family life, in life with your friends, and just in life in general, there's a lot of times that we can become entrapped in fights that don't concern us and that don't really matter to us. And, you know, oftentimes it can severely set us back by getting involved in them. You know, I've been guilty in the past, I'm sure we've all been guilty of this in the past, of getting into fights and meddling in strife that doesn't pertain to us. You know, churches throughout the world and fundamental Baptist churches, you know, they're riddled with strife among members today. And a lot of it has to do with backbiting and meddling and strife that doesn't pertain to you. You know, I've been in fundamental Baptist church for about 8 years now, and, you know, I've definitely seen conflict arise through meddling. You know, I believe that if we study some of the various passages, study some of the aspects of this various passage, and look at what happened to Josiah, and look at some of the actions that he took that led to his demise, I think it can serve as a warning to us as what can happen when we decide to meddle with strife not pertaining to us, when we decide that we're going to go and fight a fight that's not our battle to fight. And it can help us to avoid some of the trouble and some of the waste of energy that's going to come from this situation. First off, I want you to notice with me in verse 21 today, verse 21, and keep your finger in 2 Chronicles 35. That is our central text. We're going to be turning back and forth, but we're going to be staying there as our central text. So keep your finger in 2 Chronicles 35. In verse 21, I want you to notice with me, first off, the warning regarding the sin of meddling. Look at verse 21. It says, "But he sent ambassadors to him, saying, 'What have I to do with thee, thou king of Judah? I come not against thee this day, but against the house wherewith I have war. For God commanded me to make haste. Forbear thee from meddling with God, who is with me, that he destroy thee not.'" So we see here, you know, Josiah, again, he's warned by the king of Egypt to go away, to leave him alone, to not get involved in the fight. And we know that the king of Egypt, you know, he was speaking the truth in the situation, because if you look at verse 22, it says, "He hearkened not unto the words of Necho from the mouth of God." So again, we know this was a righteous fight that Necho was in. So Necho himself was literally speaking from the mouth of God, telling Josiah to go away, telling Josiah to stay out of it, telling Josiah to not get involved in it, but he decided just to meddle in this matter. Turn with me to Proverbs 26:17. Proverbs 26:17, right after the book of Psalms, you've got the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. As you're turning there, I'm going to read from 1 Peter 4:15. The Bible says in 1 Peter 4:15, it says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." You know, right here, Peter decided to tell them, you know, don't suffer as a busybody in other men's matters. Because if you decide to be a busybody in other men's matters, you're going to suffer for it. There's going to be repercussions for it if you decide that you're going to be a busybody. You're there in Proverbs 26, verse 17. The Bible says, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Doesn't sound like a very smart person, right? You know, God gives us clear warnings here that we're not to meddle in strife not belonging to us. It's not a sin to be taken lightly. You know, the picture he gives is somebody who takes a dog by the ears. You know, you want to get a picture of what God thinks about us when we decide to meddle in strife belonging not to us? Go to one of these rough neighborhoods where there's gates all over the place, hop the fence, go up to the pit bull and try to grab it by the ears. You say, "I'm not going to do that. That's stupid." Well, that's what God thinks of it when you decide to meddle in strife not pertaining to you. You're getting yourself into all sorts of trouble. You know, God is likening you to somebody grabbing a dog by the ears, doing something that's totally stupid and unnecessary and that's only going to cause you pain. He's likening you to that when you decide to meddle in strife that doesn't belong to you. You know, oftentimes related to the sin of meddling is the sin of talebearing. And in the book of Proverbs, it talks a lot about that. Go back to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 8. Oftentimes people who meddle are closely intertwined with the sin of talebearing. Because if you think about it, what are you doing when you're talebearing? You're talking about other people's business that you shouldn't be talking about. And not only that, oftentimes you're involving yourself in that business, and you're deciding to bring other people in it by telling them about it and by deciding to gossip about it. You're there at Proverbs 18:8. The Bible says, "The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost part of the belly." Proverbs 26:20, you don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, "Where no wood is, there the fire goeth out. So where there is no talebearer, the strife ceaseth." You know, there's that saying that you're just adding fuel to the fire. I wouldn't be surprised if that saying actually came from this verse in the Bible. The Bible says, if you're a talebearer, if you're going around talking about other people's business to other people, and you're trying to get other people involved in business that doesn't belong to them, you're just adding fuel to the fire. You're just adding conflict. You're just making things worse. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5 in the New Testament. Looking at verse 11, the Bible reads, "But the younger widows refuse, for when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers also, and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give not occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully, for some are already turned aside after Satan." You know, oftentimes we'll hear that verse 14, about the younger women marrying, bearing children, guiding the house, as God's will for women. But if you look at the preceding verses for it, Paul leads up to it by saying that he wants women to marry, bear children, and guide the house because a sin that a lot of the women in church would be able to fall in was that they would learn to be idle, that they would learn to be tattlers, and that they would learn to be busybodies in other people's matters. So Paul was saying here, let them marry, bear children, guide the house, do things that are important so they're not worrying about getting involved in other people's business that they don't need to be involved in. You know, but Paul is saying, have them be occupied with something that's important. Have them stay away from this damnation. Have them stay away from being turned after Satan by becoming talebearers, by becoming busybodies, by becoming people who are tattlers and just want to get involved in other people's business. You know, just like Josiah, he had a clear warning from God through Necho. You know, just like he had it, The Bible's given us a warning to stay away from meddling, to stay away from people's business, to stay away from being a busybody and a nosy person who just wants to be involved in other people's business. So we saw the warning concerning meddling first off, but notice with me second off, if you'll turn to 2 Chronicles 35 again, notice with me second off the woes of the sin of meddling. We saw the warning of the sin of meddling. Now we're going to see the woes of the sin of meddling. 2 Chronicles 35, verse 23. Verse 23, the Bible says, "And the archer shot at King Josiah, and the king said to his servants, 'Have me away, for I am sore wounded.'" You know, when he says, "I'm sore wounded," it means he's wounded very badly. Look at verse 24. "His servants therefore took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died and was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers. And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah." You see, Josiah, he ends up going through a very painful death of getting shot by an arrow and saying that he's sore wounded, and shortly thereafter he dies due to this poor decision that he made about getting involved in this battle that didn't concern him. You know, if we decide that we're going to meddle with strife that doesn't belong to us, we can expect to have woes. Just like Josiah had, we're going to have woes when it comes to meddling in battles that don't belong to us. We're going to have frustrations. We're going to have setbacks. We're going to have shame. You know, they have a saying, snitches get stitches. And you know, oftentimes that's true. If you're somebody who's constantly going around being a tattler and trying to meddle yourself in other people's business, it's going to come back around to you. Proverbs 25, verse 8, you don't need to turn there, but the Bible says, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame." You know, you can avoid a lot of shame and a lot of dishonor and a lot of reproach by deciding just not to meddle with unnecessary strife. You know, you ought not be one of these people that just wants to be involved in the next fight and in the next argument and in the next set of drama. You know, save the drama. Don't get involved in the drama. It's not something that you want to get involved in. It's not a good use of your time. You see, Josiah, he ended up dying early due to meddling, losing out on time that he would have had to serve God and to try to get his kingdom even closer to God and to try to do more great things for God. He ended up losing out on that. He ended up having a shortened life because he decided to meddle in a battle that did not belong to him. Look at verse 24. It says, "His servants took him out of that chariot and put him in the second chariot that he had, and they brought him to Jerusalem, and he died. And he was buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers." You know, that's the end of him. He died. He's buried in one of the sepulchres of his fathers, all because he decided to waste his time with a battle that didn't belong to him. You know, we're also going to waste our time if we meddle in strife not pertaining to us. No matter what the matter is, if it's a battle that doesn't concern you, it's going to waste your time, and oftentimes, it's just going to keep you from walking in the Spirit and serving God. Because if you're meddling and you're getting involved in a strife that doesn't belong to you, you're not walking in the Spirit. You're not Spirit-filled. And if you're not walking in the Spirit, you're not going to be able to give the gospel to people that God probably would have gave you the opportunity to give the gospel to. You're not going to be able to serve God like you should be serving God if you're walking in the Spirit. You know, you're not Spirit-filled if you're meddling with strife not pertaining to you. You're going to waste your energy, which is valuable. You only have a limited amount of energy during the day. Do you really want to spend it just worrying about other people's business and worrying about other people's drama and just worrying about things that just don't concern you? You know, you ought not be that person. You know, not only though does meddling hurt you, it's going to hurt the people around you. And I'll prove that by looking at this passage. Look at verse 24 again. "And all Judah and Jerusalem mourned for Josiah." And Jeremiah, you know, Jeremiah the prophet says, "Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah in their lamentations to this day and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the lamentations." You know, the people of Judah, they were really sad to see Josiah go. They were sad to see their godly leader go. You know, his sin didn't just affect himself, but it also caused great grief to the people around him. And, you know, just as it was with him, if we decide to become involved in strife not pertaining to us, you know, it's going to bring our families into trouble. It's going to bring our friends into trouble. It's going to bring people around us into trouble. You know, our families, our children, they may end up getting involved in the strife. You know, and even if they don't get involved, you know, the attention that you should be giving your family and your children, oftentimes you're not going to be able to give it if you just become so enthralled in other people's strife. You know, your bitterness, your bitter spirit that you're going to develop by having all the strife in your life, it can rub off on them. You know, you might be, you know, you're going to be a bad example to your children, but this also might happen. You know, children are smart. Children pick up on a lot of things. And then if they hear you talebearing and gossiping about people and just saying bad things about people, you know, they might start doing it too. You know, children are smart. Children talk amongst themselves. You know, children pick up on a lot of things that we don't think they pick up on. And you know, if you're somebody who's getting involved in drama that doesn't belong to you, oftentimes your children are going to pick up on it. And oftentimes your children are going to let things slip out of their mouths that you're not going to want to have them let slip. But you know, it just rubbed off on them because you decided that you were just going to be a meddler in other people's matters. You know, between families oftentimes, you know, not just in the church setting, but just between families and, you know, brothers and sisters and cousins, you know, if you meddle, oftentimes it can cause great strife. Turn to Proverbs 18. Go back to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 18, verse 19, the Bible reads, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." You know what? Some of the strife in families can be some of the most grievous type of strife you'll ever see. You know, I've seen family members war with each other, and you know, they don't speak to each other. You know, oftentimes just because the bond, the familial bond is so close, if there's strife between there, oftentimes that is some of the greatest strife. The Bible says, their contentions are like the bars of a castle. And oftentimes, you know, family members will meddle in each other's strife and they'll cause a huge feud between one side of the family and the other side of the family, and they won't speak to each other and they won't go to family gatherings anymore because of this strife that had happened this one time. And, you know, I've seen it happen. And oftentimes it comes from meddling. It comes from getting involved in fights that don't belong to you. I remember when this whole thing happened with the Orlando sermon. And, you know, it was my pastor who was in the news, who, you know, the news was slamming. You know, I had some of my family members try to meddle in it and try to give me their opinion about it and all. And, you know, it's just not necessary here. We don't need that. It doesn't matter. Keep your opinion to yourself. You know, but strife will happen oftentimes by people trying to meddle, trying to just get involved in arguments that don't belong to them. You know, great strife can also sometimes happen at work. Because I've noticed the workplace sometimes is one of the places where people gossip the most. I mean, just recently I moved to a new team at work. And the person who was training me was just constantly slandering other people on the team. Constantly saying, oh, this guy doesn't do this right. And this person doesn't do this right. And this person. And you know, it's just like, you have to just be quiet about it and just be silent so that they'll get it. That, you know what, I don't want to join in on your gossip. I don't want to join in on talking about how this guy can't do his job, and this guy can't do this and do that. You know, we just got to be people who just don't say anything when people present that to us. Because, you know, even if we say something and we respond to it, it can be misconstrued that we're taking this person's side and we're against this person. And, you know, so much drama happens at work. It's best just to stay out of it, just to not say anything when somebody tries to get you involved in drama at work. Is that sometimes that can be some of the worst type of drama because you're with these people 40 hours a week, every day. And if drama starts to happen, then, you know, you're not thinking about your work and you're thinking about the strife that you have, and it just becomes a toxic environment. It's best just to stay away from it, especially as Christians. You know, if you want to have a good testimony at work, don't get involved in the drama that people get involved in. Don't get involved in the gossiping and in the backbiting and, you know, and in the little cliques and the little warring against each other. You know, if you just stay away from it, it's going to be a lot easier to do well at work and to concentrate on doing a good job and just to stay away from it. And it's going to save you a lot of energy. And you're just going to be able to use that energy just to concentrate on your work and to do better. You know, if you meddle in other people's business, you become a talebearer, you become a busybody. Also, you're going to just develop a reputation of being a fake friend. You know, people aren't going to trust you if they find out that you're somebody who meddles and who is a busybody and who likes to tell about other people's business. You know, you meddle in other people's affairs, you decide that you're going to become a busybody, it's inevitable that it's going to come back around. Because if you're going around talking about people and just trying to tell other people about other people's drama and stuff, it's inevitable. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You will reap what you sow. It's going to come back around to that person that you've been talking about them. If you've got this habit of constantly talking about people, you know, you're going to develop a reputation that you can't be trusted. And, you know, people soon aren't going to start trusting you. And they're not going to tell you things anymore because they know that you're just somebody who's going to try to use words against them and you're just going to try to tell their business to other people about it. You know, you're going to develop that reputation. This person can't be trusted. You know, there's people that I've known throughout my life, you know, just, you know, distant family members and just other people that I know. If this person's around me, they can't be trusted. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. If they ask me questions, I'm just going to give very ambiguous answers to them, just very simple things, because I know they're probably just trying to pump me for information. They probably just want to find stuff that they can use against me and create drama with. And so I just stay pretty much silent around those people. I just don't talk around those people. And you know, that's what you will become. That is the reputation that you will have if you decide to be somebody who is meddling and a talebearer and a tattler. You know, let's remember the woes of meddling. Let's remember what happened to Josiah, how he got shot by an arrow, and he was grievously wounded, and how he died early, and how all the people lamented about him, and how Jeremiah the prophet was sad about it, and he lamented about it. You know, all because he decided to meddle in a fight that didn't belong to him. Let's keep in mind, we're going to have bad consequences come to us if we decide to meddle, and we decide to be talebearers. So, first off, we saw the warning concerning the sin of meddling. Second, we saw the woes concerning the sin of meddling. But thirdly, and lastly, notice with me, the wiles of the sin of meddling. Look, go back to 2 Chronicles 35 and look at verse 26. When I say the wiles of the sin of meddling, I mean the trickery and the lure that the sin of meddling has. Look at verse 26. The Bible reads, 2 Chronicles 35, verse 26, it says, "Now the rest of the acts of Josiah and his goodness, according to that which was written in the law of the Lord, and his deeds, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of the kings of Israel and Judah." You see, the Bible makes it clear that Josiah was a righteous king, but he still became entrapped in the sin of meddling. You know, he wasn't a wicked person. He wasn't just some reprobate. He wasn't just some person who loved to disobey God. But he was still tricked by the devil into meddling with strife that didn't belong to him. And meddling is a sin that can trick you into it. It's a sin that can beguile you into it. It's a sin that the devil can use to trick you into. You know, oftentimes we'll see godly Christian people become entrapped in the sin of meddling. You know, I've been beguiled by the sin of meddling in the past. You know, it's something I've been guilty of in the past. You know, it's easy, though, when you're living a righteous life, you know, to become prideful and to think that you can be the judge of everybody regarding their problems and regarding their fights and regarding their life. And it can trick you into meddling sometimes. Brother Stuckey mentioned this verse. You don't need to turn there. But in 1 Corinthians 8:1, at the latter end, it says, "Knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth." Knowledge puffeth up. Oftentimes when somebody is a novice and they get a lot of knowledge, as Brother Stuckey mentioned, it can puff them up. You know, and people who become puffed up oftentimes want to use that knowledge to go try to solve everybody's problems and just be everybody's judge and just give everybody these answers. You know, people will start to become entrapped by the sin of meddling in this. You know, I've seen women sometimes will have friends who want to meddle in that other woman's marriage. And we'll try to give them advice about what their husband should be doing and all. You know, we'll want to tell them, "Oh, your husband should be doing this, and he shouldn't be doing that, and this and that." You know, that's not your place to judge. Amen. It's not your place to give advice to other women about what their husband should be doing. Amen. That is a wicked sin. You ought not be involved in that. That's not your place. You know, other people are going to want to meddle in other parents' business when it comes to their children. And you know, they'll start thinking, "Well, I think he should be parenting this way. And I think they should be disciplining this way. And I think that they should be feeding them this food and this and that." You know, it's not your place. It's not your child. Don't worry about it. It's not your problem to worry about. You know, I remember my good friend at my old church in the Bay Area, he was telling me a story about he was on a camping trip with a lot of members from the church that he was at. And two women literally got into a shouting feud with each other. They literally just hashed it out while other people were just around watching, while their husbands just stood back and watched it. They were just screaming at each other and having a shouting match, yelling at each other in front of everybody. And the reason it got triggered is because one of the ladies decided to start telling the other lady that her kid was so bad and he was always causing trouble and he did this, and that. And these are just Christian women screaming and yelling at each other in front of their kids, in front of their husbands, in front of all these other members from the church, all because somebody decided to meddle. Now, there may have been other stuff in the background that kind of led up to that, but from what I heard about it, the thing got triggered because somebody wanted to comment on another person's kid. You know, we ought not be people like that. We ought not be people who want to meddle in other people's business and who want to talk to people about how they should be parenting and want to concern ourselves with, you know, are they feeding them this food? Are they doing this homeschool curriculum? Are they doing this and that? You know, worry about your own children. You've got enough to worry about there. God has entrusted you with your own children. Just worry about them. Don't worry about other people's children. You know, oftentimes, I've also seen people want to come up to single people and bother them about when they're getting married. I've been in a church where I've seen this happen before a lot. It's common in the Bible college culture, you know, where people are going to want to hassle single people about, you know, when are you getting married, this and that, you know. And you know, it can lead to a lot of people having a lot of bitterness about it when people will come up and make jokes to them about it. You know, and you know, people think that they're knowledgeable and they just want to give people advice and they just want to hassle people about it, but it can lead to a lot of bitterness. And you're meddling in strife that doesn't belong to you. You know, there's also, and you know, I think every church has this, but people who want to be the attendance police. And you know, they're constantly nosy and wondering, why didn't this person make it to this event? And I wonder why this person wasn't at this event. And I wonder why this person wasn't here. And they want to ask people about it, and they want to ask the very people themselves about it, why they weren't there. You know, you're not the pastor. That's not your job. You know, the pastor is the overseer of the church. The pastor is to take the care of the church. If the pastor sees something wrong in one of the members, you know, or thinks that they need prayer, that's his job to take care of it. It's the pastor's job to make sure that you know, the flock is healthy. Don't concern yourself with that if you're not the pastor. Don't worry about it. Don't put that pressure on yourself to constantly be worried about other people and where they're at and why they weren't at this event or that event. You know, if you want to pray for them, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray for them. Pray for them. But don't get involved in strife that doesn't belong to you. Don't just get so worried about why this person wasn't at this event. You know, the pastor is here to oversee the flock. If he sees that somebody might have some trouble in their spiritual health, you know, that's up to him to go up to the person and, you know, pray for them and ask him how he can help them. But if you're not the pastor, don't worry about it. Don't put that pressure on yourself. Don't meddle in that. It's not up to you to meddle in it. I've also seen sometimes, and this is kind of taking a turn here, but it's still related to meddling, I would say. Oftentimes, there are parents whose children decide to go into the ministry or decide that they want to go into the ministry. And these parents have had great ambitions for their children. I want them to be a doctor. I want them to be a surgeon. I want them to be a lawyer and this and that. And oftentimes, they will try to discourage their children from going into the ministry because they think that they want them to be successful. You are meddling with God if you do that. You don't know if God is working in your child's heart to become a great missionary or to become a great pastor, to become somebody who goes and preaches the gospel full time. You know, you don't want to meddle with God in that. God may be raising up your child to do great things for God, and you're just meddling in it, just trying to get them concerned about success in this life and, you know, having a good career. Don't meddle with God. If your children are older and they decide that they want to go into full-time ministry and that they decide they want to be a pastor, don't meddle with it. You know, God is working in their hearts to become a great soul winner, to become a great preacher. Don't meddle with it. Don't put out their fire. You know, and not only is it easy to get involved into the sin of meddling when we start to become more knowledgeable, but I've seen that it's very easy to get involved in the sin of meddling when it's our friends who are involved in the strife. Because it's just natural to want to back your friends up, right? Oftentimes, you know, if you get involved, though, in your friend's fight that doesn't pertain you, you can go overboard, and you can just make the situation worse between all parties, and it can just lead to just a huge feud erupting and just a bunch of strife erupting where it didn't need to erupt. You know, unless your friend's in a life or death situation or in a very serious conflict where they're getting very seriously wrong, it's best not to get involved in the strife. You know, you might end up just making things worse. Turn to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15. I like this series of verses here because Jesus Christ gives us step-by-step of how to deal with conflicts and disputes. And it's a really revolutionary step-by-step methodology if you take it into account and you put it into effect in your life. Because it can really just resolve a lot of strife. Look at verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. So first off, if somebody tries to tell you about strife that they're having with somebody else, and they're trying to get you involved specifically, make sure that you tell them, go to that person one-on-one and tell them, speak your peace against them. Tell them, you know, how they've wronged you, what they're doing wrong. go to them one-on-one. That's the first step that Jesus has outlined, for you to go to that person one-on-one, not for you to get your friends involved and to tell them about it. You know, if you're a good friend and one of your friends is trying to come and tell you about strife that they're having with somebody else, make sure you tell your friend, go to that person one-on-one. That's what Jesus Christ said to do. Go to that person one-on-one. You know, if you can resolve it with them, you've won your brother. Great. You say, well, that doesn't work. Okay. If that step doesn't work, look at verse 16. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. You know, so if they don't, if you can't resolve it just on a one-on-one basis, it says to take somebody else with you. So, you know, you could be that witness that goes with your friend. Now, he's not saying go with your friend so you can gang up on them, you know, but to go as witnesses, to make the situation better, not to make it worse and to gang up and to just try to make the strife even worse. He's saying, go as a witness that every word may be established. You know, this isn't a situation in which you're going just to, you know, start a gang fight, basically. You know, you're going there to be a witness, to try to keep the peace, but to be a witness so that every word is established. And then in verse 17 it says, and if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. This is the step-by-step sequence that Jesus Christ has outlined when it comes to conflict. But so many people don't want to follow this today. You know, this course of action can stop a lot of tail-bearing, a lot of meddling from happening. You know, let's just resolve in ourselves that next time we see ourselves getting sucked into a fight, let's make sure that these steps are being followed, because that's what Jesus Christ has outlined. And, you know, this is something I've been guilty of in the past, too. I'm sure a lot of us have been guilty of. You know, we see our friends get involved in a fight, we just want to jump in and fight with them, right? But, you know, that's not how we should be. That's not the attitude that we should have. We should not get involved in other people's strife. We should make sure we are following Jesus Christ's sequence here. He has it very clearly outlined what you should do when this happens, what you should do when that happens, and it's just a step-by-step sequence. So let's make sure we're putting that into effect. So as we conclude this evening, let's remember God's warning for us to stay away from meddling. Let's remember what happened when Josiah decided to fight against Necho. You know, Necho didn't just shoot him right away. He got a warning. Stay away from me. Leave me alone. Don't get involved in this battle. God's also given us a warning. He's telling us we're like a person who takes a dog by the ears. Amen. God, that's a pretty clear warning that you're pretty stupid if you decide to get involved in instead of meddling. You know, and you know, let's take that warning. You're like a person who takes a dog by the ears if you decide to get involved in the sin of meddling. Let's remember the woes, though, of the sin of meddling. Let's remember how Josiah, he got shot by an arrow and he died a very painful death. And let's remember, if we decide that we're going to get involved in the sin of meddling, it's gonna cause us to have a lot of woe in life. It's going to cause us to have a lot of strife and get involved in a lot of drama and to expend a lot of energy that we don't need to be expending. But let's remember the wiles, though, of the sin of meddling. The fact that it can beguile us by getting us to think that, you know, we're righteous and we know what to do and we need to just go fix this situation and go fix that situation. Or, you know, my friend's in trouble right now. I need to go and help him fight. You know, let's remember, it's something that can beguile you, especially if you're a godly Christian. It can beguile you through pride, through getting you to think that you know the answer to everything. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to be assembled together tonight, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would be with the singing, Lord, with the fellowship to come, Lord. Be thou with us, Lord, as we go out throughout our weeks, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.